You're listening to Supervision with a Vision, where we discuss all things supervision. I'm your host, Sarah, professional counselor, marriage and family therapist, play therapist, eating disorder specialist, and cookie lover, with my co-host, Heather, marriage and family therapist, certified Together in Texas counselor, a Texas transplant from California, and outdoor adventurer. Hi, welcome to Supervision with a Vision. Today, Heather and I are talking about practicing authenticity in counseling and supervision. This week, we read What Does Authenticity Look Like in Romantic Relationships, published in Psychology Today 2023. First, does supervision ever feel like a romantic relationship?
I mean, I don't think it feels romantic, but connected and
close,
yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The first point in the article is that often in relationships, we are hiding part of ourselves. Do you think that happens in either with our clients or with our supervisees?
Absolutely. I think especially with brand new supervisees that come in, it's like best foot forward. Well, most of the time, right?
Sure.
I've had a few that haven't, but best foot forward, come in very polished and maybe with their list of questions or things or notepad to take notes. And then I've noticed as time goes on and there's more comfortable and more authenticity, maybe some of that slides a little bit or more comfort level happens and you don't have to be quite so on.
What about, I'm thinking about clients and supervisees. Do you think for some people that's very, very intentional and some people they're not as conscious of their attempt to put their best foot forward?
Maybe.
They don't realize
they're
hiding as much as they are.
Right. They think they're being authentic, but they're not. There's no clarity there.
I mean, I think there are a handful of times where I can remember a client or a supervisee doing this to such a big extent that it was really obvious. Like, it makes me think of when I see teens and at some point the teen says, well, you know, my parents aren't like this at home.
Right.
I'm like, of course.
Right.
I mean, mom doesn't sit around with her hair done, her makeup done, nice clothes, you know, like dressed nice all the time. Sometimes she's wearing her pajamas. So I know when they come to the office, they put their best foot forward on purpose.
Right.
Maybe a client where they're putting on their best professional front. And that because they think that that's what's expected of them.
Right.
And I know that that's on purpose.
Right.
I don't know why. I don't think this is unprofessional, but somehow it fits into their version of professional. I've had a lot of supervisees that did not tell me that they had kids for a long time.
And you're like, wait, you have?
Right. Like there's like a lot of people at your house.
What's happening right now? Right.
I mean, because you just left that part out. I don't know why that's
not brought up.
Right.
Yeah.
But it does actually feel like kind of a theme or a trend in my supervisees that I bet I can think of, I don't know, four or five where I didn't know that they had kids for a good amount of time.
I can see from that side. I mean, I probably gush on my kids too much. So
yeah,
that's not me.
But it's really practical or useful
to know what's happening at their house or what is going on.
Or their like perspective or their frame of reference. But that's is the purpose of our article,
right?
Is that that having authenticity in counseling and supervision is really a benefit. It's an asset.
But here's another question. Do you think we do that? Do you think we put our best selves forward or hide parts of ourselves when we have like a new client or a new supervisee?
What do you think?
I don't know that it's as, I don't think it's as much, if that makes sense.
I think.
It maybe is more subconscious for me.
Well, that's true. I'll have to think about that. I think very intentionally I'm authentic pretty early on to model for them that they can be authentic.
Right.
So, like in supervision, if my allergies are bothering me, I'll say, my allergies are bothering me today. Or I have a headache today. So, or even this week, I feel like
or I know, I said to one of my supervisees that I felt like she was taking a lot of what was happening at work home with her, a lot of the feeling,
Right.
and pointed that out to her and said, what could you do to leave more of it at home, at work? And then said, I am not always good at this. So I'm not telling you that I'm perfect at this or I never have a hard time with it. I'm asking you because it's a good question to consider and you have to keep working at it.
It is
So I try,
definitely an always thing.
yeah, I try, well, so with my supervisees, I try to do that, but I think too with my with clients, I work at doing that,
Absolutely,
being
yeah.
authentic, with my facial expressions or the way I talk. I work to be authentic so that they can practice it back with me.
I think that's a good way to look at it. I think there are times that is like that I can think of off the top of my head where I purposely do conceal a facial expression because I'm like, what did you just say? I don't want it to be quiet. But I do think developing that authentic relationship is what makes therapy or supervision work well.
Okay, so the next point is we try to follow the rules in air quotes. I think that this is the second half of your question. When do we do this? So what are some times where you're intentionally hiding part of yourself in counseling or supervision because it's part of the
The rules.
rules? What's an example of that?
Actually, it happened this week with a client, not so much supervision, but they were on a very strong political stance and they needed to vent about it. And they had completely made the assumption that we were on the same page. And I just nodded along because it wasn't going to do me any good to have any other, like a personal whatever conversation about it. I just went, oh, yeah, okay. And kind of just, but that was also for the benefit of therapy. I mean, it wasn't, you're not my friend, you're my client. So.
That makes me th one rule is that we wouldn't talk a lot about our own home life or some or things at home. I have this kid right now. I've known him for a long time, and that's part of why maybe he's asking some of these questions. I also think it's something that they probably talk about at home based on the kinds of questions he's asking. But he's asking more and more questions about what it's like at my house. And I think to me, there's a good argument for sometimes breaking that rule. So I don't offer the information, but he's asking. So he, what did he ask? And he's trying to be,
Sly.
and so what did he asked me something about eating dinner and then asked who I was eating dinner with. And I'm like,
Yes, good question to ask.
that's probably a good way to ask that question. And instead of, giving like a, not revealing too much in my response, I just said, oh, you're, I mean, and answered the question and then pointed out that he's wondering about it or thinking about it. Or I think based on the rest of what we were talking about, I said, I think, I mean, really, giving more than what he was giving me. I said, you worry sometimes. And he, and his age and he's a boy and he went, no, I'm not. I'm not
Worry's the
thinking about
wrong
that.
word.
He didn't want to say, and I was saying that he worries about mom and dad sometimes and he worries about me sometimes based on, and no. But it was hard for him to accept that word. But maybe some of the rules that we follow on purpose are certainly starting on time, ending on time. What we wear.
Absolutely.
I've seen some kid clients out and about, like running
Right.
errands, and I've more than once a kid has said to me, "You're wearing shorts." And I'm
Right.
like,
Like, yes, because I'm shopping at Target.
I do own a couple pair of shorts.
Right.
But I think that highlights to me that that's not the uniform that they're used to seeing me in.
Absolutely. I think that's an important thing. I think it's also when kids especially see you outside of the context of what you're, they're like, oh, rule broken. Wait, this is my grocery store. You shop here too? Like, it's an automatic, oh.
Can you think of any other rules that, so you and I are saying that sometimes with intention, we're trying to break the rules.
Right.
What are some rules that you follow?
I think time awareness is important. I do think like confidentiality and mm-hmm. like different things
yeah.
Like that. I'm very clear with my teenage parents about what I'm sharing and what I'm not sharing with them. What other rules do I?
I didn't try. I think this is a self-inflicted rule. I don't know if anybody else has this rule, but following through on things. That if I say to a supervisee, okay, I'm going to email you that link.
Make a list.
Try to be really diligent about that, because I also want them to be diligent about getting back to me with things.
Or their own clients. I mean, if you say you're going to give a something, then you need to follow up with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are number like one and two. And then I think there's other ones that I've kind of set for myself. So like in our practice, it's not necessarily a rule. But two of us on occasion work late. And so we're both here in the evening. So we'll always try to tell each other like, I'm going to be here till 8:30, just so you know who's in and out of the building. I mean, things like that, like kind of context. I have one or two clients that know that I'm the last in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they're like, are you okay, Lee? Like, you know, are you sure you don't want to walk out with me? Like that kind of thing.
To expect that they can always expect basically the same thing in the office.
Right.
And that if it is out of the ordinary a little bit, I say it out loud.
Right. If it's something a little off, a little different.
Maybe like it's been very, very hot here lately.
Mm-hmm.
And my last appointment at the end of the day, the building's kind of warm.
Mm-hmm.
And if I know I'm the last person in the building, I would rather leave the office door open.
Oh, yes.
To circulate the air a little bit. But I explain all of that out loud, because that would be out of the ordinary. If someone sat down in my office for a session and I just left the door open, that would be unusual. And so I'll say, you know, we're the last ones here tonight, and I'm going to leave the door open so we can get a little air, and I'm going to lock the front door. So then it feels like,
exactly.
But I've explained it or said it all. So I am kind of breaking the rules, but there's a reason why. And there's some thought behind it.
Right. And you're giving them also kind of a, like, I'm locking this other door.
Uh-huh.
No one's going to come in. Like, it's still setting a good physical boundary about your space.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The last point is authenticity means making your own rules and getting what you want.
Right. If you're truly authentic with what you / need, want from either side, right? From a supervisee or a supervisor. And you're very clear about that. Well, then you're both going to come out successful with what you want.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's more wants probably on the supervisee about what they're looking for and what they want to grow in and all those kind of things. But if that authenticity is there, you get to kind of mold it, shape it.
Well, I mean, maybe at this point, so step one, we hide part of ourselves. Step two, we are trying to follow the rules. I think this last point means that each one of us gets to the point where we actually have awareness of what we want.
Mm-hmm.
That's sometimes a hard step for people. Yeah. Because I'm thinking like our supervisees in a job situation, if they are not clear about what they want with themselves.
Yes.
How could they be clear with their employer or supervisor?
Right.
But once they have that clarity, communicating it means that they might actually get it.
Right. They might get what they need, want.
So
also it might reveal a change, right?
Yeah.
Like it might be, oh, well, I thought that I wanted this, but I actually don't.
So true.
Right.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
And so used to having everything in front of them right away that we forget that innovation just takes time. I myself get frustrated too. Why? And you know, this is being one of my best friends is, hey, I talk to you all the time. Hey, man, I'm frustrated in the fact that I can't seem to just get there in the next day. But that's just not how these things work, right? Innovation needs to be planned out. It needs to be very methodical. And then when it finally hits, that's when it seems like to everyone else that it sort of just came out of nowhere. But to you, you know the amount of dedication that it took over that time.
I'm thinking I don't know that I do. I mean, I try really hard not to. So if I am doing it, I think it's random or far and few between. But if I were late to supervision all the time,
right,
and gradually my supervisee was just irked. They're right. just annoyed.
You're like, come
frustrated. On. Right. That maybe they don't instantly know why they're mm-hmm. frustrated, mm-hmm. but maybe a couple of times with this happening that they would be more aware. I am really frustrated that supervision keeps starting late. Right. That then they could communicate that more effectively right. and we could address it.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, I recently had to move one of my supervisees to an early time slot. Well, early for me, an early time slot. And it was really the earliest I could do. And mm-hmm. I was like, I kind of even gave the fair warning. She's been a supervisee for quite a while, so she's mm-hmm. used to this. But mm-hmm. I was like, hey, I'm going to walk in with coffee and probably something else that I'm still eating from my drive mm-hmm. over here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we can make this work. Mm-hmm. And it was because she's needing like a different time based on her situation yeah. that yeah. changed. And so it was like, well, we're going to try this. And I also said, we're trying this for 2 weeks. I don't know that it's going to stick.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Well, and so I think that in that you were being authentic with her. Did right. she say, it drives me nuts when you come in with your breakfast taco
nope. or something? right.
Who knows? Maybe,
who knows? I mean, maybe it will.
yeah. Can you think of a time with a supervisor that you ever had to say, okay, this is how I'm feeling or this is what I want or need?
I don't know that it was outwardly like that. I can think of a couple of times I broke the rules.
Yeah.
I mean, Charlotte was a toddler and it was like, oh, my babysitter fell through, but I really need supervision. And by the way, there wasn't virtual supervision then.
Right. right.
I was like, and I really need supervision. And so I'd be like, so,
yeah,
like, can she come to your office?
Yeah. I mean, I had a supervisee that I did that with for a long time.
Right.
And I felt like it was hard, but right. I was the one that was eventually authentic and said, we just can't.
Right. At a certain point, they're too busy. It's and different when they're a baby.
We certainly worked through that, but I don't think that the supervisee was authentic with me
oh.
in saying what they felt, okay. what they needed in right. that situation.
Right.
So I said, you know, we really just can't continue with mm-hmm. the baby coming because I feel like we're both distracted.
We're not
and
yeah.
I'm worried. I'm worried the baby's going to get hurt
right.
or there's going to be a problem. And so right. it makes me nervous to right. have the baby here. And I know that my supervisee had emotions or thoughts
I'm
about
sure.
it, but they didn't
right.
say anything.
Right.
So that's why I'm trying to think maybe even in a work situation, do you think that there was ever a time where you spoke up and had to be authentic in order to get what you wanted?
Yeah, absolutely. I worked at a couple of different clinics early on that I realized, oh, like they will absolutely use up every ounce of energy you possibly have.
Yes.
If you just keep, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they will, if you yeah. are the yes girl, they will abuse that
yeah.
easily. So mm-hmm. yeah, setting boundaries, I think I learned pretty early on in the workplace.
I think that's complicated because if we're thinking from the supervisee perspective, how many supervisees do you have that a very big percentage of their motivation is get these hours
right get them over with yeah
so that is authentic and that mm-hmm. is part of their goal and another big need that they have is to have work-life balance
right
and that they might not have as much awareness around
right
Absolutely. But they're both important
right they're just so different
right so helping our supervisees to speak to both of those mm-hmm. important things you need work-life balance and you need to get your hours mm-hmm. you have to speak up for both
right
I think that's tricky. So I have a lot of supervisees that would speak up for the need for more hours.
Before they mm-hmm. realized.
that's how I felt. Like in the situation you're describing that you thought, if I just keep saying yes, they will just keep giving
right.
me more work. That I've had jobs like that and recognized that. And I think I was surprised, actually, that when I did get to a point where I remember some of the self-talk I had would be that there was always more work and
right.
I did want hours, mm-hmm. but I would make myself leave at, I forget.
You know, the time frame, yeah.
It was a pretty reasonable time. It was either 5:30 or 6 o'clock or something. But walking to my car from the building, I was having to tell myself, I did a good job today.
Yes.
I worked hard.
Right. Did the things.
I got as much as I could possibly get done today, done. And tomorrow, I can work hard mm-hmm. and I can get done as much as I can get done. And I was telling myself, like, let it go.
Right.
There is no fault in you leaving right now at a reasonable time. That's mm-hmm. not a problem. You did a good job. when I started setting that limit, I actually found that no one in the building was upset with me.
Right. It was all self-induced. Right. It was all, yeah.
Like even my boss, who certainly if I had stayed and if I had asked for more work, they would have certainly right. had more work to give me.
You couldn't stay till 9 p.m. Right. every night. Right.
But they weren't chasing me out of the building going, why aren't you staying longer? Why right. can't you work more? That me setting that limit was perfectly appropriate and mm-hmm. accepted.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to set it.
Right. You just had to put it out there so that you mm-hmm. could balance mm-hmm. those things.
But I had to be aware of that. Right. I had to recognize I need to leave.
Right.
And that was how that was the other part of the self-talk, is that I would say, I did a good job. I worked hard, and I can be here tomorrow and mm-hmm. do a good job and work hard. And in order to be there the next day and do a good job and work hard,
right.
I need to go home right now.
Right. It's very good.
But if I hadn't had that awareness, I don't know.
I was going to say, I think you had that awareness pretty early.
Yeah. If I had, my boss wasn't going to help me with right. that awareness.
Right.
So I came to that and then supported myself and said it and got what I needed because right. I was willing to right. say, this is what I need. So yeah, I think there are a lot of people, supervisees, clients in different areas, situations
right. mm-hmm.
where maybe they don't have the awareness and so then aren't saying it and aren't getting what they want.
Right. And they're not aware that they even need it because they've put maybe something else ahead of it, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's getting mm-hmm. those hours or if it's a client, maybe it's their own family life or whatever. They're not even aware of what need they have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right now, I have a lot of supervisees that are being asked to do work-related tasks that are not really, really focused on counseling.
What is up with that? That is like a trend.
Yeah. And that's another facet of the same thing that I'm trying mm-hmm. to help them point out, that yes, you're a hard worker. Mm-hmm. Yes, you want hours, but do you want more hours filing paperwork?
Right.
Or do you actually want hours practicing your counseling?
Right.
Or what, fill in
right.
the blank. I mean,
right.
I feel a lot. I wonder if yours are doing this too. They're being asked to do marketing.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Which right. is not really.
It's not anything.
It's not meeting your
right
supervisor. Mm-hmm. It's not meeting the supervisee's immediate goals, really.
Right. Right. And it may not even be important. It's just that they like a fresh face and mm-hmm. to be, yeah.
So I'm trying to help my current supervisees see that it's not bad to do right. that, but it's certainly not directly meeting their right. goals and
well,
what
and
they're wanting.
Let's not invest too much time and energy into it. I mean, you can do that, but right. let's not take away
from it. You know, I did. I stopped myself and asked my supervisees, do you enjoy it?
Right. Is there a benefit here?
Right. Is it the thing that you see yourself doing as a counselor that you would mm-hmm. like to gain
right.
practice in? And it did make them all stop and go, no.
Right.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
Right.
Then why are you doing it?
Right. Then let's not continue this
right.
process.
Then how could you right. say that to someone so that they know that's not really what you're hoping to get out of this?
Right.
So we're saying it's a process in helping them to have awareness that maybe they're hiding part of themselves. Mm-hmm. Have awareness that they're what the rule is and are they trying to follow it?
Right.
Do they really want to follow it?
Right. Are they engaged to follow? Like, is there a reason?
Mm-hmm. And then helping them to express it, communicate it, so that they can get closer to
right.
what they want.
Right.
Maybe, I mean, I think we're kind of at our end, but thinking about, do we do that for ourselves as supervisors would be a really good question.
That's a very good question.
Yeah.
I think we should ask. Mm-hmm. Are you guys doing that as supervisors?
So Heather and I would love to hear about how you make yourself follow your own rules and any suggestions for future podcast topics. We always love to hear. Thank you today for listening to Supervision with a Vision.